From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to our Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. Ole Miss baseball last night in Auburn, Alabama, losing 4-1 to the Tigers. Keegan Thompson, Kendall Rogers told us just on the podcast he wasn't 100%. Can't imagine what that would have looked like at 100%. He throws 6 no-hit innings, a lot of strikeouts, couple walks. A lightning delay ended his night after 6 innings, but Auburn holds on. Wins 4-1. Ole Miss gets a hit in the 8th inning to break up the no-hitter. That was a Tim Rowe double. But Rebels get just the one run there in the ninth after the first two get on. Sacrifice fly from Colby. Bortles scores the one run. James MacArthur, short outing again, gives up 3 runs, 2 earned, 3.1 innings there. So Ole Miss Auburn, 6 o'clock tonight from Plainsman Park in Game 2. Also, Ole Miss softball starts their regional tonight at home in Oxford facing Southern Illinois at 8:30 is a start time for that. That is ESPN3. There's no television for that. However, the first game of the regional is actually on ESPN. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Is that right?
North Carolina, Arizona State on ESPN at 6 o'clock Central Time. So maybe just 2 named teams and a 2-3 game is my guess. But
probably just fit the time slot.
Well, right, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is coming out tonight, at the Ole Miss Softball Complex. I'm assuming you should get there early if you were going. They were already doing some construction. Had Chucky Mullins closed yesterday for the roundabout construction. So just be aware there. As I saw that they were telling people to take the old Taylor exit last night.
Yeah. It's going to be a cluster, you know what?
Think so?
Oh, yeah. And then I'm just going to let people know it is going to rain in Oxford this weekend.
Is it?
Probably a lot.
Okay.
And this is NCAA. If there is lightning anywhere around, and I'm not really criticizing this because obviously people's safety is paramount, so I'm not being silly. I'm just being honest. The delay possibilities are
well, in 2014, we had a rain delay where it didn't rain during the baseball regional against Washington.
I covered a rain delay in an Auburn-Tulane regional final once where the sun was out and the sky was clear.
So what happened?
There was lightning 20 miles away.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped?
For a long time.
Protocol.
Because I remember I had a book and I read multiple chapters. Just kick back in the Plainsman Park press box.
A 1, a 2, a hell of a hullabaloo.
Yeah, waited it out.
Chris Malloy joining us today on the podcast, the Ole Miss men's golf coach, as we've been telling you, Ole Miss advancing to the national championships. And Rich Harvest Farms, like Sugar Grove, Illinois, I believe, is where that is, just outside of Chicago. It's in the Chicagoland area, inside an hour, right at an hour from Chicago. I think Northern Illinois is technically hosting the event, but anyway. Ole Miss seeded 18th for that. What they do, they play 54 holes, and then they cut from 30 to 16 after 54 holes. They play another 18 holes, so 72 stroke play holes. And at the end of those 72 holes, the top 8 advance to a match play competition. 8 plays 1, 7 plays 2, 3 plays 6, 5, 4. A normal bracket, as you'd expect. There are 5 players in every team. First 1 to 3 points wins and moves on in the match play. So that is the way this tournament is set up. Again, Ole Miss the 18th seed for that. They are paired with Auburn and someone else in the first round of that. So there's a quick day. You'll hear from Chris here in a little while on the podcast, brought to you always by the Oxford Exxon. Highway 6 West in Oxford. A lot of people coming in town this weekend. Check them out on the way. Stop in to get some fuel. Clean convenience store, good prices there, as well as ribs, lunch specials, and more at the Oxford Exxon. When you use the Plenty card, you get to save money. You earn points, and you can use those points with multiple retailers, including Hulu, Nationwide, Rite Aid, American Express, and more. So up and down I-55 throughout North Mississippi, and especially in Oxford, Craddock Oil saves you money, gives you a great product there. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call Corey at that number. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. And then the decision's yours. You can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they have done for listeners of this podcast from all over the South, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's easy. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. So many people have done it. You should too. ClarkFordInc.com, 662-257-1900. And when you finish your deal with Corey, say, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. $500 off the already great bottom line there at Clark Ford in Amory.
Okay.
Yeah, you done? I usually finish with the number. I'm shaking it up.
257-1900.
I'm crazy. What do we got? What's going on? It's Friday.
It is Friday. I'm not staying on this long again. Baseball loses to Auburn last night. The RPI said basically the same. Kendall thinks they've got to win one game this weekend and they're in no matter what. I'm not quite as sure, but I'll take his word for it. He knows more about it than I do. So if you listen to yesterday's podcast, if you didn't, I'm telling you that Kendall thinks they just don't need to be swept. So we'll
at some point, sometimes in baseball, but everybody's raving about hitting and all that. Give Keegan Thompson credit. You know, I mean, sometimes people step up, and especially in this sport, people get on a mound and they sort of channel themselves and get it done. And he pitched really well last night for six innings.
No, he's good. When he's healthy, he's incredibly good. I mean, yeah. He and Casey Mize are the reason that Auburn is in the position they're in.
Right. Mize not going tonight, is my understanding. Is that right?
I thought he was.
Okay.
I thought he is. Butch admitted that he was not feeling well, but that he was to see the advertiser. Is that Montgomery?
Yeah.
Says Auburn coach Butch Thompson announced right-handed pitcher Casey Mize is dealing with arm soreness again, but said, quote, he's probably felt worse.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that means he's going, right?
So I would assume he'll give it a go. I would think they'd be careful with him. Kendall thinks Auburn's in.
He thinks now they are 100% in, no matter what.
So if you're Butch, you got to be kind of cautious at this point.
You're not hosting, so.
Yeah, you're going on the road somewhere as a two, so.
And Ole Miss's RPI actually moved up last night.
Because they played a RPI team.
Well, not really. It's, you know, so many other teams right. Doing things is more what it is.
So, I don't know. If you're Ole Miss, win the night. Last night's over.
Win more.
Move on. All I was saying is, you know, the kid pitched well. Give him credit. That's why they are where they are. And
yeah, I mean, look, it's both. I mean, look, they had a couple chances early to get something done. They squandered them. Frankly, James McArthur was not very good, but they kind of kept Ole Miss in, and Auburn stranded the bases loaded. I mean, Auburn was 1-for-8, I think, when it was in scoring position. But over the last two games, Ole Miss, 2-for-24 runners on base. No matter what the pitcher's doing, you got to be better than that. You got to be better than 2-for-24 with scoring opportunities. So that's where they are. Ole Miss, that's what it is. I mean, that's what I kind of find funny. It's not really even the Bianco argument. It's just that there's such a football mentality of when you have a flaw, at some point, accept the flaw and stop raising your blood pressure every single time the flaw exposes itself. Because in baseball, that's every single day almost.
Yeah, I can't – I frankly can't relate to the fans that react to every regular season baseball game. And I get it's the end of the year and emotions are high. And if you're waiting for this team to be great, you're going to be waiting forever. It's not going to happen. It's a flawed team. We've talked about it. I suspect, I'm going out on a limb here, that the coaching staff knows it. There's only so much you can do during the season, whether that's coaching stuff or personnel stuff or whatever. I suspect it will be addressed.
I don't really want to get into the other thing because I just don't have the energy and we've been through it and it's bad pot at this point. However, I do have one question. And I get this is a Twitter segment for the most part. It's message board to this point as well.
Yep.
Is there still a huge segment of the fan base that does not understand why baseball is different from other sports, or are they so emotional they don't want to understand?
I know that's a good question. I do think there's a lot of people that either don't understand it or don't want to understand it. And then I do think there are people that are just simply so emotional about it that they will not accept what they view as an excuse, when in reality, it's not an excuse, it's an explanation.
It becomes emotional when you go, well, but State, and you go, well, State went 8-22 2 years ago, but still. It's like, well,
yeah. People get very emotional about laundry. If you lived in Idaho and you weren't emotional, you just liked baseball, and someone explained the scholarship situation, but you were a Idaho grad, so you don't really care. You'd think, wow, it's kind of remarkable what Ole Miss has done. You'd say, it's amazing that State's able to put together those kinds of years.
It's ironic that, frankly, the entire conversation's a credit to Mike. He created this monster out of a little less protein than some other schools,
yeah,
and grew it to this point to where it's, well, you did it this much, so do it. You know, I don't care. Keep growing.
Keep doing it. Yeah. Well, you feed the monster, and the monster gets bigger. Yeah. We've had this discussion.
But monster needs more
food. So the monster gets bigger. He wants to eat more food. He eats more food. He gets bigger. Now he wants more food, which makes him bigger. And at some point,
you run out of food.
You either have to say, hey, this monster's too damn big, or we can't afford to feed this monster anymore, and it's time to put the monster on a diet.
Yeah.
And frankly, and I this is an unpopular opinion, I think Ole Miss has fed the monster too much. It might be too damn late to put him on a diet. I don't know that you can justify financially the commitment that Ole Miss has made to this monster.
It's too complex of a conversation for right now, because the money they're putting into it makes it where they don't lose as much as other programs.
Right.
So in a lot of ways, they're technically saving money by spending in certain ways. I mean, your question here, look, let's forget the subtext for a minute. It's how much should you pay your staff?
Yes.
The other stuff makes money.
Right.
How much should you pay your staff? Well, when Ole Miss first jumped out on that limb and really paid high, this is what's funny about this misconception. To this day, everybody goes, oh, Mike Bianco's one of the top five highest paid coaches in the country. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He's not really close to that.
Right.
Because when I give you Mike's number, I'm giving you his absolute total number.
Yeah, the
perks, I mean everything. Yeah. When I go, hey, Mike Bianco in 2015 made $916,000.
That
I mean,
includes
everything,
and everything, right? Anyway, see, everybody does the Dan O'Donnell. Dan
Mike's base salary is like $685,000.
Yeah, everyone does the thing about Dan.
Dan's making $1 million base.
Ole Miss would have to ante up
minimum
another $500,000.
Yeah,
to get him to even think about it. If you eliminated every other thing, I don't know that you could justify that right now.
Yeah, programs kind of caught up to Ole Miss from a salary standpoint and passed them in baseball.
I'm not really saying that I'm not doing the whole Mike is overpaid thing. I'm not.
No one's overpaid.
No one's overpaid. I'm simply saying if Mike walked in today and said, hey, Ross, Jeffrey, I'm done. Peace out. You would have to sit and go, okay, what do we do here? Do we scale this back a little, save a little money, try a different route, or do we go big splash, which is going to cost us another $500,000? Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't know that that would be, given the scholarship limitations and some of the things that you have, I don't know that you could really justify that unless some booster came forward and said, hey, I got it. And not only I've got it for at least 10 years.
Well, right.
Here you go. Here's $6 million. Use
this. Go get a baseball coach.
Go get a big boy. And then the problem is that big boy's going to ask questions about the scholarships. What are you going to do administratively to help me get over this? What are you going to do from an admission standpoint? What are we going to do? And if the answer's, well, not much, coach, he's possibly going to say, you know what, I'm pretty good at wherever I am, and I'll wait for the LSU gig to open. I'll wait for the Florida, Arkansas gigs to open.
Dave's been there a while. He's got to get out at some point.
Yeah. I'm not saying Ole Miss is a bad job. Look, Oxford's great. It's a beautiful facility. You get great fan support, all of that stuff. But the 11.7 versus the 16 or whatever is a real deal in a sport where only 9 people play at once. It's an issue. Not an excuse, an issue. It's why when those of us who are able to objectively look at this, look at it, we go, you know, Mike's done a hell of a job.
You build in cycles. Said that, I'll say it probably 1,000 more times before Mike Bianco's tenure ends next year or in 1,000 years. It's my other thing that bothers me with this conversation is you shouldn't be rebuilding in year 17.
Huh? What is magical about 17 years in a deal where to do it you are going to have to be cyclical?
Yeah, I mean,
look, if in the next 2 years,
I would literally have to take these people, sit down with them with a legal pad, and start drawing out. Wouldn't.
The hardcore ones, you wouldn't even be able to do it. You would not be able to break through because they want to be upset about it. Here's the reality: if in the next 2 years. If in 18 and 19 the results are what they are this year, it's not good. That would represent failure, yeah. Frankly.
Yeah.
But no one, if you were paying attention, should be surprised that this team is where it is on May the 19th or whatever today is. That shouldn't surprise you. And if you got excited because they swept East Carolina at the beginning of the year to the point that it completely skewed your expectations for the rest of the season, that's on you. That'd be like me as a Cub fan going, hey, we just swept the Reds. All's well. No, we played the Reds. If the Cubs could play the Reds 162 games, I'd really like our chances. Unfortunately, it's not how it works. It would be literally going, hey, well, it's all good now. No, I remember last weekend where Cardinals kind of took it to them. I remember the weekend before when the Yankees took it to them. I know there are issues. Is it fixable? Sure. Did they win a title last year? Sure. But you have to be able to be rational. And the rational people get that. And they are a silent majority. But the people that are irrational about it are the ones that bombard social media with just basically a temper tantrum.
Yeah, Ole Miss fans care. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a great thing. But there's an understanding that has to kind of come with it. And look, I mean, it sucks. I'd love for every school in the country to have the same number of scholarships. It would grow the sport. It would help the sport. The lack of equality, frankly, is one of the reasons it's a second-tier sport. Yes. It's gimmicky. It's weird.
Yes.
It's not fair. It's not equitable.
It's why some programs around the country just go, F it.
Yeah. In major leagues, there's a few even, so.
Yeah.
And not weather-related, so. Anyway, last night around the league, Alabama. Vanderbilt 18, Alabama 1 last night in Nashville. I think they've given up on Greg Goff. I get what Kendall's saying, but at some point.
I'd fire him. I'd make a change.
Ooh. Might be night-night for the Gamecocks. Georgia Bulldogs 6, South Carolina 3 at Carolina Stadium last night. Carolina now 12-16 in the SEC. Night-night. Over. Still think Holbrook's safe.
Yeah, I still know.
Missouri 5, Tennessee nothing. Tennessee is eliminated from postseason or the SEC tournament or whatever. I'm not even going to call that postseason. 12 teams get in. LSU 3, Mississippi State 1 last night in Starkville. LSU clinches at least a share of the SEC West title.
LSU getting hot in May. Shocking.
They can win it outright with another win this weekend. Kentucky beating up Alex Fiedo last night. 12-4 Wildcats in Gainesville. Kentucky still tied for the now tied with LSU and Florida for the SEC lead.
And but there were some scouts sitting behind that deal in Florida going,
It's kind of weird, wasn't it? Yeah. Don't really want that to be the last look for anything.
Those guys got to make scouts got to make. We're getting close to that moment where the GM and the president of baseball ops say, "All right,
what are we doing?
Give me your last overall. Give me your thoughts." Like, I'm reading this Cubs book. You know, it was about the scout that loved Schwarber. And the day when they finally were like, all right, what do you really think? And he's banging on the table going, this guy is special. He's different.
Because there's dudes in the room that go, he can't catch.
Yeah, there's dudes in the room. What are we doing? We're taking him with the fourth pick? And he's like, this guy's a middle of the lineup every day. You know, people watched Fieto yesterday, and now they're like, I don't know, man. I mean, I like him, but that last taste wasn't good.
What's up with Pentecost? Is he doing anything anywhere?
I don't know.
You know, he was in that class with Schwarber and Will Allen and those guys.
Yeah.
Actually, he might have won the
– what's his first name?
Max Pentecost. P-E-N-T-E-C-O-S-T, yeah, okay. I believe.
Yeah.
Where's he at? What's he doing?
I'm pulling him up.
Final score from last night, Arkansas 6-4 over A&M in College Station. Hogs now 17-10 in good shape to host.
He's still in the Blue Jays system.
Okay.
He's at Dunedin, high A.
Ooh. So he's not doing what Schwarber did?
No, Schwarber's in Chicago, which is really high A.
It's higher than
Dunedin. Higher than high A, yeah.
Yes. All right, there's baseball for the day. Again, 6 o'clock tonight, Plainsman Park in Auburn, Community Mortgage. Proud supporter of the podcast. Located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast, underwriting and processing done in Memphis. So get local underwriting, understands your market. Also the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate. Rates go down, you get the lower rate. So contact Jason 662-234-2704. JLowe, L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
School's almost out for summer. Caroline's last day today. And the Oxford Park Commission is just as excited as you and she are. Their summer program is going to keep you active, making memories you won't forget. Tennis, golf, gymnastics, cheerleading, fencing, and karate are just a few of the many activities youth and adults can participate in. Registration is ongoing through May 31st. For more information, visit them online, www.oxfordparkcommission.com. Like them on Facebook at Oxford Park Commission. Follow them on Twitter at Oxford Parks Rec or Instagram at Oxford Parks. Live well, play well, have fun. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Been in the Oxford area for more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his sites, harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits right back into the Oxford community. OUB currently offering a vehicle loan special, rates as low as 2.5%. OUB offers a full-service mobile app, lets you check your balances, transfer money, or deposit checks using your phone. OUB can literally service customers living anywhere in the U.S. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're looking for a Nissan vehicle, it's the place to go. They've got everything you might be looking for, whether it's new, previously owned, great lease deals. We tell you about those all the time. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Tell them you heard about it here on the podcast, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan.
Now, Ole Miss golf coach Chris Malloy on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Chris, congratulations on the week. I'm going to get to your tournament in a second, but we talk a lot about snakes on this podcast because Neil is deathly afraid of them. Just curious, if Braden or Ben, assuming you saw this, had the ball go in the water like happened to Jacksonville yesterday in Baton Rouge, would you have told them to go get it when there apparently were copperheads all in the pond?
We talk and laugh a lot about snakes because, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with snakes. you know, on that deal. But man, the stakes are pretty high. I think I'd have been down in there with them, and we'd have both been looking around.
Well, see, did you see this yesterday?
I did.
Okay,
I did. My skin's crawling thinking about it.
Here's the thing. Okay, Neil, quickly. Jacksonville is trying to advance to Nationals, and the guy puts a ball in his pocket. Well, he goes to pull his scorecard out of his pocket. The ball pops out, rolls off into a lake. Well, rules say it's a two-stroke penalty if he doesn't find the ball and finish the hole with the same ball. So,
okay. Where is this tournament?
It's in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And the funny part of it is, and here, Chris, this is what you hit on. No one goes in there and helps him. This dude strips down to his underwear and has 5 minutes to feel for the ball with his toes.
Oh, my God.
Toes and just pick whatever he sees up. No one else went down there. All his teammates or anybody around or coaches or the other competitors staring at him, staring at their watches for 5 minutes, waiting on him. And he found like 20 golf balls, but none of them happened to be his.
And there were snakes everywhere?
Well, apparently there were a lot of copperheads that had been seen there. And Smiley Kaufman later said, yeah, that lake is littered with all sorts of creatures.
Yeah, I'd have to surrender my golf scholarship and just go do something new.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing good about the story. First of all, it took place in Baton Rouge, so yeah. That's not good itself. And then you have snakes. You have a guy in the water searching for his ball. So it's just an all-around bad story. But you know, it's one of those bad rules of golf, you know, right, that needs to be changed. It's like that Lexi Thompson deal that, you know, cost her the, you know, first LPGA major of the year. And it really gives our sport, you know, there are a few rules out there that just give our sport a bad look, and that is one of them.
Because wouldn't it have been just
immediately?
Why not just say, hey, take a new ball and put it right where it was, the other one was, and hit it. Go.
Correct.
And he'd even mark it on the green,
right?
There's
got to be some human element and some voice of reason. You know, I mean, there's nobody on earth that would walk over there and say, I mean, that's just not why that rule was, you know, brought up and made. You know, it was made for another reason. And I'm sure that, you know, whoever, you know, made that rule to begin with, if they looked at that situation, they'd say, well, no, of course not. You know, that's not what we're getting at. So, I mean, like I said, I think in that situation, there's almost got to be the little human, you know, human element, you know, element to override that rule.
If my political career ever takes off running the Common Sense Party, one of my planks will be to fix some of the golf rules.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about, you know, the one that always, I mean, there are a bunch of them that get me, but the one that kills me is not being able to move your ball out of a divot in the fairway. I mean, guys, you hit a good shot. You hit it in the fairway. Now you're in a divot. That's a bad deal.
That's true. So, over the week, you advanced yesterday. Pretty good day. Really got hot on the back nine. Obviously, the scoring conditions were pretty good. What was the mood of the team? What did you kind of tell them the night before? Because, I mean, after the really good first day, everybody kind of struggled the second day, and the wind picked up. I talked to Lynette for a softball story, and she said there were a lot of gusts and different things going on. So what was kind of the mood? What was the message the night of day two going into day three?
Guys, it's what I love about my team. I mean, it really is that – you know, we went through the first day, and the first day wasn't, you know, very easy. You know, wind was blowing. I mean, it's Texas, so it's never calm. But, you know, the wind was, you know, blowing okay, and we had a great round. And then came out the second day and just, you know, really kind of had the bad wave of tee times, you know, the leaders did. You know, we were the last off of number one, and the wind was pumping through there really, really good. It was very, very difficult, especially our last nine holes. And even though our score may not have indicated it, man, I thought it was an okay round of golf. I'm not saying it was our best, but, man, they really hung in there. In about that 14th, 15th hole during the second round, they had an opportunity to kind of pack it in and, you know, let the wind get to them and really go south. But you know, they held on and played great. And listen, I sat down with them, and I know it's easy for me to say now, you know, on the tail end of it, but you can ask our guys. I just sat them down, and yeah, I kind of laughed. I said, you know, you guys, you're third place right now. I said, you played well every final round this year. And I looked at Kerry Sweeney and I said, you know you're going to play well. Everyone in this room knows you're going to play well because you've done it all year. I mean, this is a guy that in the final round of stroke play at the SEC Championship had a hole in one. He's just he's made for final rounds. And so you knew he was going to play well, and you knew the rest of the guys would. And I told them, I said, you know, you don't have to be somebody you're not. Just be who you have been all year long. And this will be easy. And it wasn't easy, but they did what they did all year long. We didn't get off to the greatest of starts. As I alluded to, that second round, you know, the golf course played very difficult. So you're kind of going around that course the next day, and there's no wind. So now it's very gettable. As you saw, Iowa State, you know, shot a million under, Just had a career day. But the scores were low in general, and that's a hard part of golf sometimes is, you know, the course that you just walked around the day before that was so hard. Now you're thinking, you know, pars the day before, now you're, you know, thinking birdies. And they got into it. You know, the gettable stretch was that 10 through 14. So I knew we had that in front of us, but and they took advantage of it, and it worked out.
I'm just kind of curious. I mean, you're walking with whomever yesterday or doing whatever. Are you constantly checking score? I mean, what do you do from a scoreboard standpoint? Because like you said, you ended up with a 9-stroke cushion of advancing, and there at the end it was kind of a formality. But there at one point you were, I guess, one shot ahead of fifth and then two shots ahead of sixth, and it had really, really tightened up. Were you even aware of that, or are you just walking and participating with whoever you're with at the time?
Yeah, we were all aware of it. They did a good job of having scoreboards all over the golf course. So, you know, it's not like I could sit there and tell my guys, hey, don't look at the scoreboard. I mean, it's going to be right there, and they're going to see it. And so we knew it, you know, and you're right, at the turn, we were one shot clear. But as I said, I knew we were getting into that easy stretch, and that's what I kept telling them. I told them I saw each of those guys, they came through about the eighth and ninth hole, and that's what I told them. I said, okay, you're getting to the easy stretch. You're good. And, you know, in the back of your mind as a coach, even though you know you have a team that you have faith in that's done it all year long, you know, in the back of your mind, you're still kind of looking at it going, golly, we don't have a whole lot of margin for error. We need to take advantage of those holes, and fortunately, we did, and it worked out.
We've all talked about Braden and Ben all year, and rightfully so, but in a third round where there for a little while, Ben was really scuffling, Braden was kind of treading water, you get big days out of Josh, Carey, and Noah with a 70, a 67, and a 72 to finish their rounds. That back end kind of picks you up when you had to have it right there.
It's unbelievable what those guys have done and stepping up at the right time. I'm not knocking my team, but we may not be the most talented team that's out there, but we have an unbelievable knack for, you know, kind of brother-in-lawing it and stepping up, and these guys stepping up when they need to. And especially, as I said, in final rounds. And that's something that, you know, maybe there are some other teams that you think may be more talented out there. They don't have that. And these guys live for it. Somebody said yesterday, if you get Kerry Sweeney to play, you know, the first and second rounds, you know, like his third round, you know, he'd be the number one player in the country. And, you know, you kind of laugh, and I don't disagree, but I don't know. I mean, that guy's wired. He's just wired a little bit differently. I don't know that he'll ever treat the first and second round like he does the final round. But that's okay. He's really helped us. Like I said, he helped us in the SEC Championship and that deal as well. And then, like you said, Noah stepped up. And then Josh Seipel, he's close. Josh is close to playing very, very good golf. I've spent the majority of this past tournament walking with him, and I tell you something you didn't get to see yesterday, but the 18th hole was, you know, playing fairly difficult, and he hit a driver And he knew, I mean, at that time, he probably thought it was a little bit closer with the team standings than it was. And he hit a six iron from 205 yards to about 4 feet. You know, when he thought it was a major, major situation, he thought we needed it. That was a big time birdie.
I don't want to jump ahead too much because obviously you're going to Illinois, you're competing for a national title, but just getting back to that tournament, first time since 2001, you've got a good recruiting class come in. What does this step just kind of do for your program overall?
It changes everything. I mean, it validates what we have done over the first couple of years. It's one thing for me to get up, guys, and share a vision with these recruits and tell them, hey, this is why Ole Miss, the future of Ole Miss golf is different. To actually do it, that's a big deal, and now it's tangible. I told those guys yesterday, I mean, just, I know to them, it doesn't seem, it seems cool, but so guys, this is a day that you will never forget for the rest of your lives. I said, I can tell you, standing up in Providence, Rhode Island, coming off the 18th hole at the Country Club of Rhode Island, we advanced, when I was playing, I guess I was 99, to the national championship. I could tell you just about everything from that day. Mm-hmm. And then, right after that, I mean, I still weekly, I think about that day. And you don't have too many days like that in your life, maybe when your children are born, your wedding days. I said, so don't underestimate what just happened today. That's special. And anytime you have that opportunity, anytime you have something like that happen, that's pretty cool.
Kind of jumping around a little bit. I saw you, I guess, the next day. We had Jonathan on the podcast last week. I know you see him a good bit. He practices in town when he's here. He's made such a step, driver accuracy and down four cuts. I know he's obviously in the field this week. It's still early kind of in his progression as he's taking these steps of trying to keep his car, but I've got to assuming just having an Ole Miss bag out there helps you, and then obviously you get Braden in the FedEx in a few weeks.
Absolutely. And listen, when I took this job, I'll never forget, I was talking to a swing coach and that was teaching a bunch of juniors, and they said, listen, coach, I appreciate you looking at my player, but he's probably going to go to Georgia, and maybe a Florida. I forget a couple of the other schools that were in on him. I said, why is that? He goes, well, they produce tour pros. That's just what they do. He wants to be on tour. He wants to win a national championship, and he wants to be on tour. And I did my best to explain, listen, no school gets a guy on tour. The guy gets himself on tour. We can give them the platform. Ultimately they have to do it, and they can do it here. They could do it at McNeese State if they needed to. It doesn't matter where you are.
ULM.
Sure, it helps. It helps to be, in our environment, in a environment with other guys that are playing at a high level around you. But, I think just going back to that statement, that is how some people think. So to have that logo out, on Randolph's bag, is huge. To have a guy like Braden that's, nobody in college golf is competing at a higher level. That guy's, our team is about to have a chance. They're four rounds, away or a couple more from winning a national championship. So you can do it at Ole Miss, and that's, so once again, it's tangible now.
Yeah. And you had 54 holes. I mean, you had to get the national. It's not like you've given it to, because of your ratings. I mean, Georgia's at home, Florida's at home after, I think, shooting a 312 or kind of falling apart a little bit in round three. Wake Forest was 10th in the country or something, and they're at home. I mean, there are good programs that don't show up for those 54 holes.
Yeah, it's hard, guys. I mean, it's golf. Anyone that's played golf knows that, I mean, it's just hard. Unfortunately, it's not like a, football or, some of these other team sports that, you can hide up, a couple of weaknesses and kind of get away with it. It's, you're pretty exposed, and, and you're exposed, you know, for those 3 days. It's not like we can substitute guys. So, you know, it's hard to get through. You know, it's funny. I was talking with the Florida coach this morning. I mean, they have a great team, and they just unfortunately had one very bad round, and that's the nature of the beast. So we're fortunate to get through, to have an opportunity, but don't sleep on the Ole Miss Rebels. We got a chance this week.
Yeah, let's kind of see where I was going to go next. You're going to Illinois. What's that course like? What are the greens? It was kind of just your early thought on how that sets up for your guys.
You know, I've never been to the course. I've heard a lot about it. It's supposed to be very nice. It's supposed to be very hard, which I think plays into our hands. You know, we got a group of resilient guys, as we spoke about. You know, they step up in final rounds and when the pressure's really been on. So, I think they'll like that challenge. You know, the grass is going to be a little bit unique. You know, it'll be the rye grass, rough, and then I believe bent everything else. So bent greens, bent fairways, which, you know, that's not exactly what we're accustomed to, but that's okay. These guys have traveled around, played enough golf that, you know, they are somewhat familiar with it. But we'll get up there a little bit early. I think we're going to get up on Tuesday, probably go out, watch the women play you know, the days leading up, their championship is directly, you know, in front of ours. So I think we'll go up, probably walk around, watch the women, so that we can see the course maybe on Tuesday. And then we'll go to another course in the area that is the same grass and, you know, just kind of mess around, play, you know, get used to the grass on Wednesday and then practice around. So, you know, over those couple of days, you know, that, you know, 2 days of getting up there, they'll be fine. We'll get acclimated. But, I think it's going to be a tough challenge. I think you're going to see some pretty high scores.
I've never thought about that. You go all over the country and even the world during the year. Do you do some of that because of different types of courses and greens and grass and different things?
We absolutely do. And, okay. And it's funny, people give me a hard time and laugh all the time. They go, you're going to nice places and you're traveling from, you know, east to west, you know, all around. And that's the reason we do, you know, a lot of those places. You know, you don't want the first time your guys are on Poana grass, you know, to be at a regional, especially, or bent grass to be at a regional. So, and that's why, you know, we start out, you know, we'll go up in the fall, we go up to Milwaukee in Wisconsin, and we'll get on some bent. So our guys get a little, you know, familiarity with that. That's why we go to San Diego, because that golf course has Poana greens that we can get used to. So, I don't want to play it. I don't want to play just in our comfort zone, you know, throughout the year, and then get shell shocked when you get to postseason and it really matters.
You've played not only some great courses, but it gets a lot of great fields. Is this another step too with making nationals to ensure that you can remain in those fields? Because I'm assuming if the program fell off, you'd have a much harder time getting invitations to some of these places.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you ask coaches around the country, you know, we have stepped onto the national stage, and I don't think there's a team out there that takes the Ole Miss Rebels for granted at all anymore. We are for real, and, you know, we've won 4 times this year. We've stepped up and competed, you know, made the match play in the SEC championship, which is no small feat. You know, beat some, you know, very good teams, you know, this past week. So, listen, we belong on the stage, and we, you know, belong with the nation's elite. I know our guys think they belong, and I think they do too. So that's all that really matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congrats, Chris. Maybe we'll talk to you from Illinois next week. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Howdy, howdy.
Our thanks to Chris for joining us on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It is the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles, everything you're looking for. It's there. If you're heading over to Hoover next week and you want to get your Ole Miss gear just in case the Rebels make a long run and keep chase there all week long, You can get that at the Rebel Locker Room. As we mentioned, softball tonight at 8:30. Ole Miss football season tickets available. OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. Works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in our state. Go to his site, gotland.com, got-land.com. Read his testimonials, ask about his track record, look online to see the properties he has listed. He just wants to have an opportunity to sit down with you and talk about his services, his business. If he can't win your business in that sit-down, he doesn't deserve it. He just wants a shot. He's ready to work hard for you. No one will work harder than Michael buying or selling land. Give him a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Some of the services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf installation. They even do holiday lighting for your yard during the holiday season. So if your yard's not up to par, give MasterCuts a free quote or call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. Sign an annual contract. Tell them about the podcast. First Cut is on them. Again, I use them, and they do a great job. So give them a call. Yeah, you mentioned Hoover. I always pack in case I'm there till Sunday. I will go ahead and pack for the week, and you never know. I'll be going over on Monday for the practice and the media stuff, and then Ole Miss will play at either 1 o'clock or 4:30 on Tuesday.
You could be home as early as Tuesday evening.
Probably will stay till Wednesday morning if it's the 4:30 game because it's just – it'll be 9 or 10. I'll get up in the morning. Might even, yeah. That's kind of the
course.
Thought.
Yes. But
you especially would.
Yes.
You're not the night driver at all.
Nope.
Vanderbilt trip broke you.
It did.
2009.
Well, and I'm going to tell you the one that did me in.
LSU?
Nope. Well, that did too. That was brutal.
That was stupid.
It was stupid. Driving from, this was a necessity, driving from Dayton after an NCAA tournament game. I know some people out there. It wasn't a tournament game. Okay. Driving from Dayton to Nashville to catch a flight to Jacksonville was brutal.
I forgot that.
Left Dayton at about 11:30 midnight-ish.
And drove to Nashville?
Drove to Nashville.
So you didn't sleep?
No. God bless Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, sat on the phone.
He talked to me from Dayton to south of Cincinnati.
How far is that?
It was 2-3 hours.
Just whatever. Reading the phone book at some point.
And then thank God for Sirius XM. They were doing spring training previews. And
you listen to baseball previews.
Somebody was looking out for me because one of the two teams they were featuring that day was the Cubs.
So they kept you for
a few
minutes.
It was like Cubs and Blue Jays. And I was
anything just to.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I rolled down the window, rolled the window up, down, up, down, up.
Really struggling.
Struggling. But I had no choice because I had like a 7:45 flight. Got to Nashville, got on the plane. And that was back when I was doing marathon training. And I had to do a run that day. So I got there and I said, do I sleep? Because I had media stuff that afternoon. I'm going to go run now.
Oh.
So I did my training run on no sleep at all, really no food at all, showered, went to the basketball thing, wrote, got back to the hotel. It was like 6:30, 7 o'clock. We went and got pizza somewhere, like me and Kellenberger and some people. And I just remember sitting there thinking, I don't want to eat. I want to go to bed.
And you went to sleep.
Oh, it crashed.
Wow.
Then covered the tournament game the next day.
We left Nashville that night at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It was a late game, and then we waited and ate at a TGI Fridays or something.
Yeah, and that was dumb.
And then came back. And Dylan and I drove on to Amory.
I don't know how you did it.
We stopped. You stopped in Oxford. We went the extra hour and 15 to Amory for whatever reason.
I'm just not a night driver.
But anyway, that's that. So we started the conversation with Chris, so you're telling me at the end of the day you would not have jumped in for your golf ball and waited around with your toes?
No. No, I would have just said, I'll take the two-stroke penalty.
Well, no, that, but it could have been the difference in them advancing or not. He needed to find that ball. They ended up advancing, but
I'd like to think that I would do that for my team, but I got to tell you, if I got in there and got bit by a snake, I would be pissed. You don't know how much my skin would have been crawling.
Do you know how bad luck that was, though?
That, what? Again.
Okay, I know it's bad pot. I'll let you watch a second of it.
Okay. It's just so stupid. The rule is so stupid. Fix the rule. No.
He's down in his – he's got black boxer briefs on, and he is using his toes to try to find the golf ball.
Well, and he's waiting all over the – oh, my God, look at it. He's scared. You can see he's just – he's kind of freaked out too because God only knows what all he's feeling down there.
Every time he finds a ball, he gets hopeful, and then he has to throw it away because he realizes it's not his.
And he finally takes the penalty, right?
Well, he has 5 minutes to look.
Did he find it?
The clock runs out.
Yeah. The clock ran out, right?
Yeah. He parred out, and they ended up advancing.
So all this ended up being unnecessary.
Correct, yes.
Whew.
Like I said, though, I was talking to assistant coach Kyle Ellis about it last night, too. His coach is not jumping in with him. Like, nobody's volunteering to help out here.
Yeah, at the end of the, hey, be a team player. All right, well, he got out of there and he goes, I know how people feel about me today.
Somebody pointed it out on Twitter, I think, last night. His underwear are so wet now. Wouldn't you get, like, blistered and chafed from trying to finish a golf round?
Yeah.
That's soaked.
So you want to hear a chafing story?
I mean, whatever. It's Friday. How can we get through Friday with a good chafing story?
Grandma's Marathon.
Duluth, Minnesota.
Me and David Brandt take the trip.
Yep.
A lot of fun. Saw the Cardinals on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saw the Cardinals on Thursday, drove to Duluth on Friday, mm-hmm. ran on Saturday, and then saw the Cubs and Twins on Sunday before we came home. Great trip. They bus you out like 20 miles from Duluth to like Twin Harbor, Minnesota.
Okay.
The staging area for the beginning of the marathon is a car dealership.
Okay.
And it pours down rain. It's pouring down rain. And we're hiding underneath this like air conditioner thing. But we still get wet. Because eventually you have to come out and go to the starting line, and now it's pouring on you. And all of your clothing gets wet. Well, I use Body Glide. You know what I'm talking about? You run some. Do you use Body Glide?
Yeah, yeah.
To prevent nipples?
I actually like the Gold Bond version of it. It's uh-huh. still a stick, but it's a little better. It's a, I believe they call it friction control. Okay. Is there?
You use Body Glide because otherwise your nipples will get severely chafed to the point of being cut. If you watch a marathon sometimes, you will see some of the inexperienced runners have two bloody spots on their chest. It's their nipples have
and
been
can you
cut.
Imagine how bad that's hurting every time that shirt
yeah,
hits
yeah, because
it.
I've done it.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying just, oh.
Yeah. Well, by this day, I was pretty much covered the upper half of my body in
Body Glide.
Body Glide. I mean, covered, caked, and legs inside of my thighs and stuff. Anything that could
touch anything
chafe.
Else.
There were parts of my body that I failed that day to put Body Glide on because, quite frankly, I didn't think it would be necessary because
was.
I didn't anticipate my shorts getting wet before we started running.
Yeah.
Didn't think about it during the 26.2 miles. Got back to the dorm there at University of Minnesota Duluth, and that's when I realized that certain parts of my body had gotten severely chafed when the hot water from the shower hit those parts
that
of my
painful.
Body. I screamed like a little schoolgirl. Yes, because I was not anticipating the pain.
How long did that last? Day or two, probably.
Yeah, a couple, 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that hurt.
Let's put it this way. Before we went to eat, we had to stop at a drugstore to get some Vaseline.
Did you?
Yeah. Duluth, Minnesota. Kind of a sneaky cool place.
Yeah. So. Oh well. You looked it up. We're gonna close here. You looked it up. You feel good about Ole Miss softball advancing out of the regional. You actually kind of looked at the teams.
I did
kind
of look it up a little bit. I think they're gonna get out of the regional. I think they'll win the regional. I am curious to see what happens with the weather. Whether we're still talking about softball Monday or Tuesday. I don't know how that works. A lot of rain Sunday.
Quick bracket update we were wrong about, by the way. Okay. Tomorrow, the winners play first.
Oh, really? Okay. So the winners play, it's 1 o'clock, right?
I think so. It might even be 11.
I don't know. Little programming note for those of you who follow the site. I'm going to cover the game tonight. We've got some conflicts, both of us, on Saturday. We'll have some coverage. If it's not our coverage, bear with us.
Find out what happened. We'll figure it out.
And we'll get you some stuff. And then one of us will be there on Sunday.
Well, it'll be fun.
We'll have it. But neither one of us were anticipating having softball coverage in Oxford on Saturday, May the whatever tomorrow is. And we have conflicts. So bear with us. It's going to be okay. We're going to get you the information. You'll be able to get it other places. And our boy Russell's probably live tweeting it anyway.
Yeah, so it'll be fine again. Ole Miss, Southern Illinois tonight. I guess Ole Miss all times 2-2 in the tournament. I think they went 2-2 last year in the Oklahoma regional, winning, losing, winning, and then losing to the Sooners in the finals. So that's where that is. Again, Ole Miss and Auburn tonight, 6 o'clock, Plainsman Park for that one.
If you're looking for some reading material on it, Dylan Edwards did a fantastic story, wrote a fantastic story, I should say, about kind of how Mike Smith built the program and how it got to where it is today, and it's really good. You should read it.
So do that. We will be back on Monday with another podcast. Thanks to Chris Malloy for his time. We'll talk to you then.